Mine, you're like, I have to think of something smart ass to say. You know, I can't. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. So, good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, and it is finally September. We're, like, turning the corner towards fall.
Yes.
Means
pumpkin spice lattes are in, along with...
going to have to happen less often.
Pumpkin beer. Pumpkin
spice. I'm like, land... yard work ends. Yay.
Yard work ends? Well, unless you live in a... Well, fall, you have to, you know, rake stuff up. Rake up leaves.
We don't have anything that drops, actually.
Yeah. Well, we actually just moved to a place that has a nice big tree, so we're going to be raking the fuck out of our front yawn. But freaking pumpkin beer, my favorite brewery nearby has this pumpkin spice beer that they drizzle powdered sugar on top of. Oh my god, it's the fucking die for.
What is it with you millennials? And I say that as one of the god awful creatures as well. And your pumpkin shit in the fall, man. Mm-mm.
I've always been a pumpkin whore ever since I was a kid. Like,
and you've been a millennial since you've been a kid.
But like pumpkin, I remember growing up, pumpkin ice cream. Yeah. Was like my favorite shit.
Really?
Pumpkin ice cream, pumpkin pie, well, now pumpkin beer. There's some other pumpkin things that I really like. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there's a lot of pumpkin things that I've always liked. And ironically enough, I've actually never liked pumpkin spice into lattes because they're too sweet for stuff that I like, because I don't like coffee to be that sweet for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I appreciate the idea of it because I get it. I get the why, even if I don't really enjoy it myself. I had it like... once last year, and I was like, oh, okay, so that's what people like. But pumpkin's great, man. I don't know why you hate on pumpkin.
No, I love them for Halloween. I like cinnamon sugar pumpkin seeds.
Mm-hmm.
That I used to make myself most years. Haven't done it in a while.
Ooh, that's pumpkin shakes. Pumpkin shakes are amazing.
No, I haven't gotten into that.
You should try pumpkin ice cream this year. This year, make a resolution to have pumpkin ice cream. And then let me know what you think.
Okay.
I'm serious.
I'll try to remember
that. I'm serious. That. Like, I feel like you that was definitely like an okay, I'm going to log that away and not remember it. But seriously, try pumpkin ice cream.
I will, if I find it, consider it.
Okay. I don't even know. So much hate. So much hate.
No, there's no hate. It's like, and you at least got my back on this one. It's like every time Seth or Cam brings up Indiana Jones, they're like, oh, Kyle hates Indiana. I don't hate Indiana Jones. I nothing him. It's like, it's on. Yeah, I can watch. But am I going to go put the DVD in myself? No, it's just not going to happen. I'm not going to. Somebody offers me pumpkin stuff that's there, yeah, I'll try it, but I'm not going to seek it out. I've had enough different pumpkin things to know it's not a gourd for me.
Yeah. Have you been watching have you watched Cobra Kai before? Did you ever watch that?
I watched both seasons when it was on YouTube.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember because I know I definitely watched a season and I know I definitely at least watched a few episodes of season two, but I don't know for sure if I finished it. And I'm sitting here trying to remember if I do, but now I'm going to go to Netflix and make sure I finish it, which is great because it's on Netflix now. It's available. It's Yay! A Netflix show and it's now great number one. Show. It's the number one show in the country. Apparently, like it went from obscure to just like, oh, it's number one now. I just think it's really funny.
It was YouTube's biggest
I know, driver, but like that's like saying it's I don't know, it's Rambunkle and Hee Haw's biggest song. You know, that doesn't mean anything because no one knows who that is anyway. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think what it did at YouTube holds a little weight and shows why it's so popular at Netflix, which has a much bigger audience.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're getting to see it, and they promised us the season three. Word on the street is that's going to be the end of it. The they could end it up in season three, but I think it would be a better off. I think there's a way to round the story out, especially with the older, with Danny and William Zabka's character. Fuck.
Whose character?
William Zabka.
Who the hell's that?
The blonde guy in Cobra Kai. His name
Johnny?
Johnny, yeah. And Johnny and Danny. Things coming to a head between them, but also you've got the shit that happened at the end of season. I don't know. I one or two seasons I'm good with. It was never a show that I needed like six, seven, eight seasons worth.
Mm-hmm. It's weird to me. I'm still trying to figure out that show. Because it doesn't deserve to be very good. Because of just its concept, first of all. And to be frank, the actors are not amazing. And the production value isn't amazing. Like, the actual martial arts aren't that great either. But still, it's really good. It's like unabashedly good, and I don't understand what it is. I guess it's the writing, but still. It's got
a great story.
It does. It's just interesting.
It's got a great, interesting story, especially if you watched at least the first two Karate Kid movies growing up. It's got the nostalgia factor, of course.
But it goes beyond nostalgia, in my opinion.
Yeah. I can see that, and mm-hmm. really, I think you kind of hit on some of the acting. I think it fits, especially Zabka.
It's passable. It's not bad, but it's not really good either. You know,
you think
it
part gets of the it's job trying done. To go keep that feel that it had during the 80s.
No, the acting style feels so different from how it did in the 80s. So it's like it feels more just like a very low budget thing where a person, you know, was able to get, you know, some actors that were pretty good nearby and, you know, work with them. Like they do serviceable job, and some of them do a pretty good job, but like I don't think anyone is just like, "Oh my god, they act so well." But I think it goes to show just how strong you can get by with like a great writing and a great concept. And not even great writing, like, on a minute-by-minute basis. Like, for example, I don't know if there's, like, any particular lines where it's like, whoa, that is just some great quality, you know, amazing writing. It's more of just, like, the way it's structured, the way the scenes roll out. It's all about structure, just like, oh, this scene accomplishes this, which leads to this, which leads to this, which gets you wondering about this, and then gets you excited for this. You know, just how it's built really makes it an engaging watch. And so I think it really drives home, like, as far as what you need in terms of resources to make a great story, it's not completely extensive. You don't always need that, you know, Marvel money in order to make something that's really engaging. You don't need to, you know, have the best people to be involved. You know, it's just you need to have people who can get the job done and have a story that's just really great to watch and it's really well structured. I'm done.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Sorry, I'm trying to balance stuff in the room with sounds and things like that. So sorry about the background sounds today.
Oh, we don't hear anything. Well, at least because okay. It's on Discord. I might hear something on the actual recording. So never mind. Yeah. I unapologize.
It may get picked up, but whatever. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
So I don't care about the idea of spinoffs.
Yeah, let me find that quote. So there's a recent interview with creators John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg. And in it, they says, "We have put thought into some spinoff ideas. We just love Karate Kid Universe. We love all the characters from back in the day, and we love the characters we've created. It's hard for me to give you an exact answer to this, but what I can say is that we have a list of at least five different scenarios that we would pursue, that we would consider. Now, some of them are untraditional. Some of them are unlike any other kind of spinoff you've seen before. But every time we're writing episodes of the show, we're falling in love with the characters that we're creating and examining, characters from the past within the world of Cobra Kai. There are things that you can explore and certain things that don't fit into that particular box. But there may be opportunities down the road to break out one of these characters and get you to know them better, to explore different times in characters' lives or what have you." I don't mind it for the simple reason that Cobra Kai isn't really a show I wanted. Cobra Kai isn't a show I asked for. And I kind of just started watching just to see, like, because I had YouTube Premium for a bit. I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll go ahead and throw it on. And I was just like, I just kept watching. You know, it, like I said, it was just one of those shows that just, it's like eating a potato chip. That's basically what that show was. I just wanted a little bit more and a little bit more. It's like, yeah, I'll have the next episode. Yeah, I'll watch the next episode. Yeah, I want to see what happens. So yeah, kudos, man. Like, I feel like I kind of shit on the show a bit with talking about the writing. Like, it's okay. But like, it's still like engaging. It still keeps you going. And at the end of the day, that's kind of all I need is something to keep me entertained. And I think the other strength of this quote, the spinoff, is that, yeah, it has the legacy of the Karate Kid, but that isn't what keeps me watching as much as it is what they've established within the show itself.
Yeah, definitely. I've been impressed with the writing, considering it was a YouTube show, and YouTube, you know, yeah, as part of Google and all, they got a lot of money, but to produce things, they didn't, you know, they're new to the game, all that.
Yeah. And clearly, I feel bad because they put this great show out. And as you mentioned, it was like one of their staples. But even that, like, their originals programming isn't exactly amazing. You know, they've had some tries, but they still haven't been able to take off. And then the second that one of their products hits Netflix, it takes off. I can imagine how frustrating that could be.
Yeah, I would bet Google's looking at why they failed getting premium original content and stuff, but that's the way it went.
That reminds me of Apple.
That's like other networks that have a show, like FX had Lucifer move over to Netflix, and it got an extra season out of it, and it's been fairly well received, if I'm not mistaken, and that's lost ad revenue for FX or Disney.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think it's even more equally frustrating where it's like literally they put it out and they don't even produce new content yet. That's not coming until next year, and it goes to number one. It's like, come on, that's the stuff that we made, and it's making your platform perform better. I can't imagine. It sucks. I mean,
When do you think, because I don't think we've hit max services yet. I still think there's probably going to be like four or five.
Ooh, from who?
Just, I don't know. Just have this feeling that there's going to be like four or five more type services coming out. And, then the herd's got to start being thinned.
I mean, we already have like all the big contenders as of this point. Peacock came out, what was it, last month? So that was the last big one. So yeah, I think it's fine. Like, I can't, obviously there are going to be others, some smaller ones, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I kind of am okay with the way things are right now. I know it's not going to stay this way forever, but like, I'm okay with, you know, Peacock being free, Hulu, Disney Plus being paid, Netflix being paid, HBO Max being paid. What else is there?
I don't know, but you can pay for Peacock to get rid of most
ads, and there's some also like extra stuff ads as well.
Yeah,
and there's extra content as well. But yeah, there are others, obviously, and obviously you have stuff like anime streaming services, which might get folded into things because I think there's some big acquisition. Isn't Crunchyroll getting acquired by some big company? Is it AT&T?
Somewhat. Is it?
Maybe it's Crunchyroll.
Warner Media or whatever.
Acquisition. Was Warner Media? Crunchyroll and AT&T acquired the remainder of Otter Media, did not already own the company, and Crunchyroll with us. Okay, so they're already owned by AT&T. Wait, Warner Media. Hold on a second. Going back, looking to sell Crunchyroll. August 12th. So this is, what day is it? So this is less than a month ago. Warner Media is looking to sell Crunchyroll streaming service for at least $1 billion. Wow. It's so interesting how Crunchyroll started. Do you remember how Crunchyroll started?
No.
They were a an illegal streaming site that went legit.
Remember when Napster tried to go legit?
Yeah. I mean, no one does.
I do.
Crunchyroll is part of Otter. Wait, so is AT&T a part of Warner Media? It is, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Or is it vice versa? Is Warner Media a part of AT&T? Warner. These acquisitions and shit are just like getting so confusing.
Crazy. It's riveting though. We can't wait for you to find the answer.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited. I'm really excited. Warner Media Warner Media is owned by AT&T.
Okay. So AT&T is the big dog.
Yeah.
The telephone company that was the result of breaking down a big telephone company ends up with TV, internet, telephones, and streaming services.
It's so weird. We never talked about this, but also around that same time, it was August 7th, actually. I don't know how we have not talked about this, but there was a new judge ruling that did away with the, we'll see here, studios can now own movie theaters after a federal judge approved the Justice Department's effort to do away with the Paramount consent decrees of 1948. Those antitrust laws were put in place to prevent studios from having a stranglehold on both production and distribution. They applied to major studios such as Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, and yes, Paramount, though not Walt Disney Company, which did not become a distributor until after the law went into effect. The rules did not apply to newer studios like Lionsgate and A24. While the termination, this is from Collider, by the way, of the Paramount's consent decrees is no doubt significant, it will likely be years before any major corporation thinks about taking advantage of it. If you haven't noticed, studios have been pouring their focus and significant resources into building up their own streaming services while retreating from theaters due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So yeah, major studios can now own movie theaters. How do you feel about that? About them having basically complete control from all the way from production, development to production, all the way to distribution, complete dominance.
I don't think. I mean, really.
Do you see a future where we have movie theaters that only show specific studios' theaters? Do you see specific theaters where?
I see that's a possibility. But what I'm trying to think of is, does it really change much?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, instead of your Disney ticket, being shared about. Even if you're getting all the candy, and I don't know if it changes that much, and I know that there'll still be price competition will be a partial factor in whose streaming service will get the fastest. It is such a crazy world now with the streaming, the premium video on demand, this hybrid theaters, you can't predict anything.
No, you can't.
Can't predict anything.
No. Impossible. Impossible. random thing I want to mention today. Sorry, I'm just like all over the place. This would have been a great transition earlier, but I lost the transition thread. And it has to do with the streaming service stuff and how one can fail in spite of having great content. I'm going to keep pushing Apple TV Plus, man. They have fucking great.
But really?
Oh, my God. Great shows. I just started watching one. Ted Lasso. It just came out and it's 6 episodes in. And we blew through that in a day. And it's amazing. It's so good. It's about a American football coach who gets hired to coach soccer in the UK. And obviously they're very different sports. And he's basically being set up to fail because, you know, obviously football in America isn't soccer. And it's just it's just a really positive, feel-good show that is pretty much about how it's kind of, I compared it to Paddington. It's basically about a guy who goes into a place and through his humanity and just good nature and very specific strategies kind of brings out the best out of everyone around him. And it's really good. It's awesome. And I'm sad that it's on Apple TV Plus because no one's going to watch it.
All right. They're not doing too well, I take it.
I mean, I'm assuming, mostly because we don't hear anything about it. Luckily, was it them that just became the first $2 trillion company?
Nobody can smack on the amount of money that Apple can make. It's just strange.
Well, my point is that they have enough money to throw into this.
Oh, yeah.
They can eat it for years and then build up basically what Netflix has been able to build up for the past several years. So hopefully they're willing to do that because personally, I like their shit quite a bit.
There you go.
And I just wish that
those like type exclusive contracts.
What's that?
They'll wonder if they'll go for those like content exclusive contracts.
What do you mean?
Wondering if Apple will go after more. Hey, you only work for us for the next X amount of years, Russo brothers.
Oh, like, right.
Yeah, those types of deals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those first look deals with creatives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And guarantees and all that. It's just Apple still has that growth problem where they've been stuck anywhere between, in the last 10 years, I think as low as it's like 12%. Mobile market at least, phones and tablets and stuff, it's up to 17-18%. I'm trying to figure out if they can build more.
I'm sure they can find ways to build more.
Are people gonna? They need the subscription. The subscription should, entice people to switch to Apple as well at the same time.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not doing that. It's definitely not doing that. It should. It's not. It's pretty much not. I can't imagine anyone saying like, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to do that. But now that I have Apple TV Plus, I'm definitely going to switch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is like, I don't know, man.
I mean, if they get their big Game of Thrones type hit. Yeah, that can happen. We'll see if that ever happens. It hasn't yet, but then again, they've only been around for less than a year, so I just shrugged. I shrugged.
Only thing my wife and I have watched on Peacock for free, using free stuff. We've been rewatching Battlestar Galactica,
mm-hmm.
and loving it just as much as the first two times I've watched the whole show, and yeah, that's it. Peacock, and then I haven't got any other streaming services that I didn't have before. So
Ted Lasso, man, fucking Ted Lasso. You should watch Ted Lasso. I know you can't because you don't like Apple and you'll never like Apple, but Ted Lasso, man.
Oh, I could watch Ted Lasso if I wanted to.
Oh, watch Ted Lasso. Seriously. If you if you have the means, like seriously fucking watch Ted Lasso. It's so feel good. But you can't go into it with a cynical mindset. You have to just let it happen.
What if I don't want to feel good? What if I want to feel like down and depressed and dreary? What if that's my choice, Jammer.
That is your choice.
It away with happy, feel-good TV. All
right, you know what? Never mind. Then you should watch Ted Lasso because I know you'll hate it.
Oh, okay. Wow, I like that. Versicology. Yeah. There we go. Ted Lasso. I'll keep my eye on it.
It's actually really good. Like, for real. It's just fucking awesome.
I like feel-good stuff.
Underdog stories?
Not just underdog stories. Just feel-good. Wreck-It Ralph, and that alarm.
That alarm is basically a third host of the podcast.
It is, and I still don't understand why I can't. I need to just turn the whole damn thing off.
I mean, anyways, you really don't need to. There's a way to silence that if you want.
I like feel-good movies like Wreck-It Ralph. Mm-hmm. Is like my favorite feel-good movie of all time. So I'm down with those. You do need to pick me up every now and then. That's all I gotta say. Okay, is that all Jammer has to say?
That is fucking Ted Lasso, man. Oh, also Agretzko season 3 on Netflix. Have you watched Agretzko?
No.
You might enjoy Agretzko, actually. So it's created, you know, have you heard of it?
Yes.
Okay, it's created by, you know, Sanrio, who does like Hello Kitty and shit. And it's basically like an office comedy, I guess you'd say, a workplace mm-hmm. comedy about this little red panda woman who it works at a dead end job. And it's basically about how she gets pushed around. So she goes and does death metal and karaoke to vent her frustrations. And mm-hmm. it is about just her life in the workplace and then her trying to get through life. And it's really fun and funny. And season 3 just came out and I blew through that. This week I blew through 2 shows and I'm okay with it. I have no regrets. That and Ted Lasso.
Okay. Well, you guys take that for what that is worth. Check out the website, lrmonline.com, every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. The YouTube channel is there with wonderful celebrity interviews and, of course, other content on the LRM Online podcast network. I don't know why I almost said broadcast network. God, that's the dream.
Yeah, right? Freudian you're slip. You're broadcast. Like you're putting it out there like the secret, making it a reality.
Yeah. There you go. Speaking it into existence. Check out the podcast network for other good content. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, all my entertainment stuff at lrmonline.com, and of course you could find my books under the name AJ Cerna on Audible and Amazon.
You guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.